course of discussing movies, the host will spoil plots. You've been warned. Listen to their screams.
Greetings, ghouls and creeps, and welcome to Listen to Their Screams, a horror podcast that feels like you're chatting with friends. I am one of your friends, Dave. We're joined, as always, by our other friend, Ike. Ike, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing pretty stupendous. I think that's a right word to use.
Sure. Stupendous is good. Stupendous is... I don't know the degree of goodness, but I think stupendous is pretty high, but I could be wrong.
I think so.
Well, to check the thesaurus on that, but...
the thesaurus.
Thesaurus. I don't even know. Do people even know what that is? I guess thesauruses are online now, so...
I was going to say, it's all digital now. You should Google it.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. You could get some, probably get some freaky things if you Google stupendous. Maybe. I don't know. That's a peculiar task to see what happens, so... Speaking of peculiar, today we're going to be reviewing the movie Stop Motion. We're going to talk about that later in the show, but we just got a ton of stuff to talk about before that. This is a heavy, heavy news day and release day. But before we get into that, thank you to all of our listeners and followers, which I hope you're included since you're listening now. And thank you to our wives for all their support and everything that they help us with. So, Ike, before we dive into everything, did you watch anything this week?
Yeah. So I watched basically just one show. We finished what we have of the show Evil that I've been watching. And basically the next season, it's like the final season comes out in May. So we're waiting on that. But then we decided in the meantime, we were going to watch, Chucky.
We've
seen season one, and I realized, I guess I've never seen season two because none of it's familiar to me. So I watched season one and we started in on season two. I think we're towards the end of it now. And then hopefully start season three. Now, that was all that I watched, but I do want to add that I recently started, reading again. So fun fact about Ike, I love to read. But I oftentimes don't have time to read. So I recently got a library card for our library. And I got a book, and then that book kind of got me reading some other books. So I read a few books over the last week, but they're all horror books. So I was going to throw these at everybody out there. So the first book I read was called Tender is the Flesh by Augustina Maria Bastarica. It's just like a horror suspense book, but it's also kind of sci-fi. It's a story of a world where basically, animal flesh is no longer considered consumable because of a random virus. And so the world goes vegetarian, but they eventually start to become cannibals. And people, they start eating people, but they don't call them people. They call them special meat. So, yeah.
Long pig.
That's right. And it was really good. It was really great. I really quite enjoyed it. It was the first book I read after having not read books for like God knows how long. And then I just kind of started reading other books. So for Christmas last year, I got an Amazon gift card and I bought a couple of books off of Amazon. But they fall into a horror category called splatterpunk. So splatterpunk, for people who don't know, are basically just like imagine Terrifier, but in book form. It's gratuitously violent, gory, things of that nature. It really approaches the edges of what is considered okay in literature. So one of them is called Playground by Aaron Beauregard. Great book, really disturbing. I'm thinking about maybe lending that book to Dave. He might like it. And then the other book I didn't like as much because it was really disturbing. It was called The Slob by Aaron Beauregard. It was messed up. I ain't gonna lie to you. Like there were a few parts I was reading that and like I was like visually grimacing and like my wife was like, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "I don't mind me." And then lastly, I read a fourth book. I don't know what got into me. I read four books. the last book I read was called A Head Full of Ghosts by Paul Tremblay. Now, that one was really good, psychologically speaking, but Paul Tremblay actually wrote another book called like The Cabin at the End of the World, which is the book that was used as the basis for Knock at the Cabin Door.
Right, yeah.
So Paul Tremblay wrote A Head Full of Ghosts as well, and I can definitely see, you know, how like he's just a very unique writer, but Head Full of Ghosts is great. I got it at the library, and it's solid. It's really spooky, and basically it's the story of a mentally ill teen who her family thinks she might be possessed, but they're like not totally sure, but they do an exorcism on her anyways, and then like all kinds of bullshit starts happening. So it's interesting. Yeah. And then the last book, I promise, I started reading, but I have not finished. Nowhere near close. It's a book called Chasing the Boogeyman by Richard Kismar. So I'll let you guys know how that goes later.
Interesting. So you didn't watch the internet sensation that's been everybody seems to be talking about lately, the movie Diced.
I was going to, but I never got a chance to watch it. I'm going to be honest with you guys. I've been so consumed with reading, which I never thought I would ever speak those words, but I've been so consumed with reading for some reason, because I guess I never knew about horror books, that I forgot to watch it.
Well, I will tell you this. I still watch it, but I'm going to talk just a bit about it. I'm not going to give away a lot, but, let me say this. This movie is very divisive online because, and I see both sides because I agree with both sides to a degree. The one side completely say this is a complete Terrifier ripoff. I can see that, right? It is definitely, I mean, we're talking direct down the tree descendant of Terrifier. I mean, there's, you know, scenes that mirror it. And I get that. That's fine. I can't remember his name now, but anyway, it's his first movie, right? His first dive into anything. And he has, you know, come online and said, hey, you know, I'm influenced. It is what it is. This is my first thing. We didn't have much of a budget, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, I don't like the term ripoff per se, because there's lots of horror that's really, really influenced by other things.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, there is some direct, whatever, you know, parallels between the two. I mean, really direct. So, but I don't like the term ripoff, but yeah. I do understand the sentiment. On the other hand, it's a fun little movie. It's only about an hour long. It's like 59 minutes. It, you know, and maybe because I like Terrifier so much that, hey, yeah, you know what? This was fun. And I see man, did they pull from Terrifier? Yeah, sure. Did they almost remake parts of Terrifier? Yeah, okay. I get all that. But what I see is, man, I hope this kind of does a little well and they get a little funding to do something else with this. And let's see what he can do with a little more money. The lead character, the Scarecrow kind of guys, is pretty cool. And while there's not as much gore, there are definitely some Terrifier-inspired practical effects.
Right.
Not to the Terrifier degree, you know, whatever, but again, limited budget. I don't understand, you know, if people are like watch it and are like, this is a ripoff, I don't like it. Okay. So be it. You know, go on about your business. But there's, and now to be fair, these comments that I'm seeing are in Terrifier aimed and Art the Clown aimed like groups and pages, which is fine, but why? What's the point? You know, I mean, this movie's not pulling anything away from Terrifier. All this is showing to me is the impact of the Terrifier franchise that, hey, now we're starting to get new filmmakers that are cropping up who are inspired by this and that are, you know, that are emulating Terrifier. And that's a big deal. That shows the impact of Terrifier and the franchise. So I don't know. It's not a groundbreaking movie. Nothing spectacular. Kind of predictable, but it's a fun little movie. And I do hope they get to explore and play in this sandbox a little more. So I do advise people to watch it. I hope I go watch it still. And I want to hear what you have to say about it. Because for a 59-minute little thing, I enjoyed it. I thought it was all right. Wasn't the greatest thing since sliced bread, but it was all right. It was fun enough. And so, you know, man, people need to turn the heat down a little bit on this. And don't get me wrong, man. I'm the first to call crap. But I'm like, you know, this is, you know, clearly inspired by Terrifier, but who cares? Why is that a bad thing?
Right.
You know, I mean, give me a break. Nobody's reinventing the wheel out here.
Well, that's what I was going to say. It's, you know, even Terrifier, you know, I think Damien Leone would be the first to tell you that, like, Terrifier is not, like, 1,000%, like, original, you know? And that's what a lot of people, I feel like, don't remember about movies in general, is that everything is a derivative of something. You know, there is very rarely a true 100% original character, theme, whatever the case might be. But like you said, I actually have seen quite a bit of, you know, back and forth in some of, like, the Art the Clown, you know, appreciation type groups that talk about it. And, and like you said, it doesn't look like a bad movie. I mean, this looks like a fun, you know, film made by people who are passionate about their project. And, you know, I haven't watched it and I will watch it, hopefully before our next episode, but it's just like, just let people have fun, man. You know what I mean? And they're not hurting nobody. I'm sure Damien Leone probably would have loved to see this and be very inspired that somebody else thought, I love Terrifier so much that I want to make something made after one of my favorite films, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it is so weird to me. I mean, this, we're talking about just a little independent filmmaker guy with his first little project.
Right.
What did they expect that he's going to come out of the gates with a Jordan Peele-like mind twister? I mean, come on. I may not be 100% on this, but, you know, I believe David Howard Thornton has shared some articles and things about it, but like, you know, there's some art's got some competition. And it's like, no, well, there's room, man. Let them. I'd like to see some more push the boundary slasher films using practical effects that are in that vein. And if Terrifier is the one that's kicked that door open and there's other things inspired by it, man, that's a good thing to me. And, I mean, I've seen people get down to like, well, they look like they use the same font as Terrifier for the title. I was like, really? Who cares? Come on. I'm like, but whatever. So anyway, that's what I watched. I watched Dice and then I continued my Buffy. And, again, man, everybody go out and watch Dice. It's free. It's out there. It's, I don't know, remember where I watched. I think, was it on Tubi?
Yeah.
So just go watch it. Give it a little support to this guy. Let's see what he can do if he gets some support and gets a little money back. Let's see. And gets a bigger platform. And let's see what he can do. Because the dude's clearly having fun. And he's out there working his ass off online, promoting this thing and plugging it and everything else. And, you know, he's doing the legwork. And let's encourage him, man. Because this, who knows what this guy could do, right? He's got a good character here. And if he has a little financial backing and everything else, man, he might have the next big franchise. And, you know, it is what it is. You know, I mean, I love Art the Clown. I love Terrifier, but hey, you know, Art's not the first horror clown. I mean, you know, it's like, come on. It's hard to come up with a 100% completely original ideal and not, you know, have any inspiration from anything else. That's just, what are you going to do?
Absolutely.
So anyway, I guess that was my little bit of a hot take. So now let's move on, Ike, to your hot take.
Horror hot take.
And this is our weekly segment. And this week we are diving in into the flames for Ike's horror hot take. So Ike, you got one queued up on the stove ready for us?
I do. And it's an easy one.
All right. Well, lay it on us.
All right. So this horror hot take is brought to you by, no, I'm just kidding. Dr. Pepper. No, I'm just kidding. I wish. Dr. Pepper needs to sponsor me. I love Dr. Pepper. Anyways, so this horror hot take is really simple, straightforward. It can be dwindled down to a singular statement, and it's actually something that Dave and I have talked about a little bit before, and honestly, I think there's a lot of good conversations to have about this, and it's actually somewhat of a conversation that we kind of started last week a little bit. my hot take is that your favorite film, your favorite horror movie from the 70s and 80s is made relevant by remakes and reboots. A lot of people seem to forget that with media, with all forms of media, you eventually fade into the background, and eventually your product, your whatever it is, creation, eventually will not have somebody left to remember it, right? So there are films from the 30s and 40s and 50s that are all but forgotten because of how long ago they were made. And while the internet has introduced a level of archiving to a lot of films and a lot of media, there will eventually come a day where your favorite movie, your favorite show that was made in the 70s, that was made in the 80s, who has not been touched since, is eventually going to fade away if it were not for the accessibility and the world around us that allows people to make remakes and reboots of that content. And you might be saying to yourself, well, no, that's not the case for all films. And I would argue that it is. If I guess like kind of the one like example of this that I would say, and part of what made me think about this was rewatching the Chucky series. Mm-hmm. Chucky kind of existed as this like, you know, pop culture icon in the 90s, especially in the 90s. I mean, he was on WCW. He was on like literally like talk shows. Not only that, he had a number of movies coming out. But when they stopped making those movies, he essentially faded into the background for about 10 years. And obviously people remembered him. People remembered Chucky. But then they, of course, brought him back with some of these Curse of Chucky things. But in my opinion, the fact that 10 years was enough for him to all, I don't want to say completely disappear, but for him to fade in the way that he faded is just proof that no content is sacred. You know, if you are not actively making content, or you are not actively, you know, promoting that content or trying to do something with what you've created, it will eventually fade. And part of the reason that I mentioned that is because here in the news in a little bit, we're going to be talking about a couple of things that are being remade. And it's brought relevance back to those IPs, and it's great. But I just think that a lot of times people forget that the fact that your favorite movie keeps getting remade is making it relevant for a new generation. And if it were not for that remake, that reboot, eventually that movie's going to get forgotten. Eventually the generation that loved that film, that loved that property, they're going to stop remembering. They're going to eventually go on to the great beyond, and 20, 30, 40 years down the road, done. It's game over. But yeah, that's my hot take. Without horror movie remakes and reboots and general remakes and reboots, your favorite property would not be relevant anymore. I think that a lot of people need to think about that.
Yeah, I think I agree. You know, it doesn't have to be a straight remake. Like you said, it could be a reboot, a requel, right, all these different versions they have. But no franchise has ever maintained indefinitely itself, right? And just continued on. That I can think of in any genre, really, but particularly in horror, right? It never, where it just indefinitely just keeps churning out original films that are successful and maintain so that for the next one. At some point, they hit a wall and they hit a failure. They hit a something that causes a lag. And there's different amounts of a gap there, right? Usually where you have a dry spell with nothing. But then eventually there's a remake or a reboot or a requel or a reimagining in some sense. Yeah, I mean, it's happened with them all, right? I mean, Nightmare on Elm Street, there was a remake, right? Friday the 13th, there was a remake. And then we have another gap, and now they're kind of reimagining into the Crystal Lake series, doing something different because of all the legal crap. Chucky kind of hit the thing where they had a couple of movies that bombed and straightened up, you know, straight to DVD stuff or whatever. And, you know, now that, so they kind of reimagined into the series. They did do a remake, but then they also, you know, reimagined into a series, which really brought it back. Halloween.
Yeah.
You know, went through a gap and then had a couple of movies that didn't do as well. So there was kind of a gap. So then they did a kind of a requel type deal with the new trilogy where they skipped a lot of the sequels and went back to the original. You know, Scream did it with a, you know, a requel, bringing in new characters and tying back. And, I mean, they've all done it. And, you know, and it is what it is. It's not. You know, it's kind of unnecessary, right? Any franchise at some point needs some form of a fresh coat of paint for a new generation. And it's, you know, it's happened with all of them. And in whatever way they approach that, there's something, right? You cannot just keep indefinitely. I mean, you just can't indefinitely just keep making direct sequels in this, in the franchise and there never be, you know, a need to refresh in some way. It's just what happens. You know, and, even, like I said, even the biggest properties, you know, need to take a step back and refresh. And it's a good thing, right? It's a good thing to do it. And the best of them know how to do it, still honor the past and while doing something different, you know, and Chucky is, I think, a really, really good example of it, right? The series has a really fresh, new approach, very entertaining, very well done, but it completely honors and pays tribute to its past and doesn't completely, you know, do away with it. It's very, you know, very, very well done. And I think they definitely got it right. And hopefully, you know, things like Crystal Lake and the Halloween series that's supposedly happening and different things like that, do the same thing, right? Hopefully they're able to come up with something that is innovative, fresh and modern, but yet still tips the hat to their history and doesn't completely ignore that they have a, you know, a very deep, you know, a very deep well of material to pull from. So.
There you go.
All right. Very well done, Ike. Very well done. So, all right. Well, let's take a break. Let everybody ponder that for a moment. And when we come back, man, we have a slew of news and upcoming releases and birthdays and anniversaries. So everybody grab a drink and we'll be right back. Make sure you subscribe to listen to their screams on your favorite podcast platform. Also, make sure you look us up on social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Letterboxd, TikTok, and Slasher. All you have to do is look up Listen to Screams. That is Listen, the number 2 in Screams, and you can find us there. Also, make sure you go and buy yourself a Listen to Their Screams t-shirt. You can find all of our shirts at tinyurl.com/screamsshirts.
Spread the news. Spread the news. Spread the news. And welcome back to the news. Before we start your news section here today, I almost forgot to mention it as I do almost every time, but last Sunday, I watched Terrifier 2, and oh, yeah. I had a Terrifier 2 themed dinner. So, for those of you who are playing along and are curious, Dave pretty much guessed the main course had to do with mashed taters. We had mashed potato bowls, of course, with chicken, gravy, cheese, pop, and corn, kind of like they do at KFC. Mm-hmm. And then our beverage of choice was bleach and or lemon lime soda, if you will. And our snack was Art Crispy Treats with M&M's. So it was very good. Very, very good. I haven't made homemade Rice Krispie Treats in probably like 10, 15 years, so that was fun.
There you go.
But anywho, moving on to the news. Starting us off strong, filming has begun on the new Wolfman movie. The film is directed by Leigh Whannell, and it is scheduled to hit theaters on October 25th, 2024. Of course, Leigh Whannell is known for his involvement with such film franchises as Saw and Insidious. Obviously, he's going to do great with Wolfman. I'm very excited to see what comes of this, and I guess we won't have to wait too long. It comes out this year.
Yeah, I mean, this is a man. They're a continued attempt to kind of get this Universal reboot thing going, and You know, and I, you know, it's not been bad. The Universal, or the, excuse me, the Invisible Man, or whatever they called it, it wasn't bad. You know, I'm hopeful for this. You know, Lee Wandle is a good name to have at the helm. So, so hopefully, you know, hopefully it goes well. It's kind of a quick turnaround, it seems like, if they're just starting filming.
Right.
I don't know. We'll see what happens. I don't know. Seems like it's kind of pushing the post-production time, but who knows?
Yep, that's kind of what I was thinking, too. I was thinking it a little fast, but, you know, we'll see how it goes. But, all right. The first trailer was released for the upcoming film, The Fetus, starring Lauren Rivera and Bill Moseley. The movie is expected to release this fall. So Dave actually sent me this trailer a couple hours before we started filming. And I watched it with my wife. And immediately we saw Lauren Rivera, and I was like, oh, that's cool. I haven't really seen her in much other than Terrifier 2. And then watched it, and I was like, okay, I like where this is going. And then, like, the trailer, right before it cuts off, you see the Lauren Rivera run outside, and she's, like, hunched over, gripping her stomach, and, like, some weird, like, tentacle just comes out of her, and you're like, great. That's a great place to end that trailer. So I'm very excited for this, obviously. I love Bill Moseley, of course, but, of course, Lauren Rivera is an amazing final girl. I would say that she's one of the best modern final girls in, like, any fresh horror franchise that I've ever seen, so... very excited to see her in this film.
Yeah, me too. It looks interesting. I'm curious to see what they do with it. The trailer definitely piqued my interest, but given those two names, I don't really care. I'll watch it no matter what.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But it's called The Fetus. When I saw that it was called The Fetus, I immediately was like, all right, it's going to be good. All right, moving on. And this is, speaking of remakes and relevance, Luca Berkovici and Jeffrey Levy, who co-wrote 1984's Ghoulies, have reacquired the rights to the film and want to develop a new film trilogy. Two of the three scripts are complete, and they are now shopping the project and begin filming this fall. Ugh. So, like we said, we were talking about it just a little bit ago. If you are not actively making content, you're not generating that stuff, you are no longer relevant. It's just how the world works. And Ghoulies is no exception. I think I've seen the original Ghoulies, but I have not seen any of the sequels. So this should be exciting.
Yeah, the sequels are a little weak. I do like the original. It's fun. I'm curious to see what they do with this, because it reads like they've only reacquired the rights to the original. Maybe they didn't have a hand in the sequels and whatnot, so... maybe this new trilogy spins out of the original, but it'll be fun to see the Ghoulies in a modern film.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I always say it, but like especially movies like the Ghoulies that really relied on practical effects and I would dare say weak SFX of the day, modern effects and modern technology will make that much easier.
Yep.
But moving right along, and this one actually I saw on Instagram, and I texted it to Dave. I was like, oh, this is going to be good. But Barbara Crampton is producing a remake of 1979's Tourist Trap. No release date has been announced, and the movie is described as a group of young friends stranded at a secluded roadside museum are stalked by a masked assailant who uses his telekinetic powers to control the attraction's mannequins. This original film is on Shudder and Tubi if you'd like to watch the 1979 version. To my knowledge, I don't believe that there are any sequels or other remakes of this film since then.
I don't think so, no. It's a fun little movie, fun concept. And one of those that's, we're talking 79, so it's ripe for the remake. And if Barbara Crampton's involved, man, I love Barbara Crampton. And I feel like she'll be good for the project.
Yeah. Absolutely. And actually, just a few episodes ago, I watched this movie. It's not a few episodes ago. It's probably like a month or two ago, maybe a month. I watched this and I was very like just generally surprised about how good the movie was. So I'm very excited for a remake of this film. Absolutely. But anywho, on the cusp of the release of Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey 2, Jagged Edge Productions has announced they are planning a mashup of their Twisted Childhood universe. As of now, the universe will be expanding with Bambi the Reckoning, Peter Pan's Neverland Nightmare, and Pinocchio Unstrung. More movies are expected, including an event now being called the Pooniverse Monsters Assemble in 2025. This is simply one of the greatest things that I've ever heard of in my life. I've seen a lot of people online already just tearing this to pieces, talking shit about it. But I would dare to say to any of those people who are talking shit about this Pooniverse Assemble movie, look in the mirror and ask yourself, have I done anything near as iconic as something called the Pooniverse? And I guarantee they will say no.
Yeah, I don't give a crap what people say. We have been spewing nonstop about how much we like these. We've been calling them, what have we been calling them? Shit, I can't think of the terminology we've been using. public domain horror. And I do like the fact they're calling it the Twisted Childhood Universe. That is very clever. But I love these styles of music, movies. They're not the only ones doing them, but I love the fact that they're doing all these and they're going to pull them together into some kind of big conglomeration. This is going to be fun. You know what, man? If this is not your thing, cool. Move on. We don't need your commentary, but I like cheesy, fun, whatever else. And man, I want to see Winnie the Pooh kill some people. And if you're tying in some of these other, online, they call themselves their fans. They call them the Pooh Crew. And I'm all about that, man. I am definitely a member of that.
The Pooh Crew. I love that. That's what they call me when I leave the bathroom. Oh God, the Pooh Crew just left. anywho. Obviously, we're excited, guys, so you'll be hearing a lot more about this. Perfect time for me to mention that if you're not following us on social media, make sure you are, because I'm pretty sure we posted about this when it happened. Same with the whole Barbara Crampton thing. So
yeah.
Pop off, you know what I mean?
Too excited not to wait for it. We had to share it.
Amen to that. All right. Upcoming birthdays. March 21st, 1994. Jasmine Savoy Brown, known as Mindy in Scream. And Scream, what is that? 5, 6? Yeah. Sorry, mm-hmm. I don't know my Roman numerals very well. She's also in Yellow Jackets.
Mm-hmm. It's Scream, the new Scream.
Yes.
Scream 5, essentially. But yeah, she's pretty cool. No word yet whether she will be in Scream 7 in any way. She has indicated that thus far she's not been contacted. Who knows what will happen, what their plans are to bridge that gap, if they even plan to. To me, I know some people feel, different, but I thought she was one of the highlights of the last two movies. I thought she was a fun character.
No, yeah, absolutely. I thought that she was a breath of fresh air as sort of a Randy-esque character. Obviously, I believe she's literally a descendant of Randy, but I feel like she did it with a modern twist, and it was so good.
Yeah, I agree.
Love it. So happy birthday, Jasmine. Up next, March 24th, 1974, a very timely birthday for Dave, Allison Hannigan, who is Willow in the Buffy the Vampire Slayer TV show, also known for, I think, like How I Met Your Mother. She was one of the
American Pie.
Yeah. So, and of course, Dave, of course, he's watching Buffy right now, so this is very timely.
Absolutely. And she plays Willow, which is probably my favorite character in Buffy thus far. And I don't see that changing here in the down the stretch. But yeah, I mean, she's a pretty, you got to think, that's a pretty iconic role. You know, talk about, Buffy and How I Met Your Mother and American Pie. That's some big stuff.
It really is. It's honestly, if you think about it, that's pretty iconic. And I feel like Allison Hannigan, I feel like she doesn't really do a whole lot right now. Maybe she's just like taking a break from acting or something, but I haven't really seen her in much lately.
Yeah, I don't know. She's pretty active on Instagram. I think she's got kids. So I don't know if maybe she's just, enjoying motherhood. I know she posts a lot of stuff about her kids being Swifties and stuff like that. So I think she's just, I don't know. I think maybe she's just, being a mom and whatever else, and she's earned it.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Well, moving on up. I think that that's all of our birthdays. So we're going to move on to some upcoming movie anniversaries. We've got a few. March 21st, 1986. We have Chopping Mall. I recently watched this as well. This is on my Dave's to watch list.
Yeah,
it was good. Chopping Mall, in my opinion, should be remade. I think that you could genuinely make a more serious, more terrifying version of that in today's day. But for the time, I imagine that this probably would have been pretty cool to watch in theaters.
Yeah. Speaking of Barbara Crampton, she was in it. And, yeah. And, I believe when, and I think it might be this date, I'm not sure. It was originally released under a different name and it didn't do real great. So they changed the name, kind of did some edit, you know, restructuring of it, and then released it as Chopping Mall. So I'm not sure what this date is. This date was the original release, and I don't know what the original title was off the top of my head. So, but in any case, I do love Chopping Mall. Fun, fun movie.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And like I said, let's see a remake. Somebody out there do it. I'd love to see it. All right. Moving on up, we have March 22nd, 1985, Friday the 13th, A New Beginning. Really trying to remember this one. Is this the one where, like, it's not Jason?
It's not Jason. Yeah, this is the one where it's the paramedic, where Tommy's at the home for, you know, troubled kids and whatnot. So, not a bad movie. Took a big swing with it. It was okay, but clearly not what fans wanted. I think, you know, when you don't have Jason Voorhees in it, it's a, you know, it didn't work, which led to, you know, whatever it was, the, I can't remember what the next one was, but the, with Tom Matthews, I believe, in the next one, and, or the, it was Zombie Jason.
Yeah.
Where Jason lives. So, A New Beginning, not one of my favorites, but it did lead us to Jason Lives, which I do very much enjoy.
Yeah, absolutely. I do love Jason Lives. Honestly, I do like this movie too. It's not my favorite, like,
yeah, it's not bad.
Said, but it's not bad. It's different, like you said. It's experimental, and I can respect it.
Yeah, I get what they were going for.
Yeah,
and I understand why. But you know, man, people watch Friday the 13th. They, you know, they want to see. They want Jason. Just like I love Halloween 3, but you know, when people originally went to see Halloween 3, they wanted to see Michael Myers, and so I understand. You know, why at the time it probably, you know, didn't work as well. So.
There you go. What can you do? All right. March 22nd, 2019, we have Us, a Jordan Peele masterpiece. Obviously, I love Us. It is probably somewhere in my top 10 to 15 films. Either Us or Get Out would be. But Us is really good. It's weird, but it's weird in a good way.
Yeah, it's a fun movie. I like it. I mean, I don't dislike any of the Jordan Peele movies. I like them all. So, but yeah, Us is good.
Absolutely. Moving on to March 24th, 1989, we have 976 Evil. I have actually heard of this movie. This is the movie where like they dial 976 Evil, right? And they get like supernatural powers or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's an okay movie. Probably most noted for being directed by Robert Englund.
Oh.
Yeah, so it's a, but it's all right. I believe it was remade at some point. I don't know when, and I don't think I've seen the remake. So I'd be curious to see what that was like, but it's a fun movie.
Interesting. I was looking at IMDb. There's a 976 Evil and then a 976 Evil 2.
Woohoo.
Look at that. Mm. All right. Well, I'll have to check that out sometime. I'd be willing to give it a shot.
So no remake. Was that incorrect? Was there not a remake?
I don't see a 976 Evil remake, but there are two of them. I don't know if there's a second. Maybe there is a remake. Maybe it went under a slightly different name, potentially.
I don't know. Maybe not. For some reason, I was thinking it was remade, but I could be wrong. Obviously wrong, I guess.
Or maybe I'm just not searching it correctly. You never know. All right. Well, moving to March 27th, 2015, we have It Follows. One of my favorite movies of all time. Dave, I don't believe you've seen this movie yet, have you?
Nope, not yet. I have not. A mutual acquaintance of ours. This is a very divisive movie between you and, with you and him. He hates it. You like it. And, it has spawned many a discussion. And, I have not watched it yet. Fun fact though, the car from the movie is the guy that owns here close to me in North Carolina. That owns the Myers house. He owns the car from the movie.
Really?
He does. Yeah.
That's really cool. The car, honestly, it kind of reminds me of the car from Evil Dead a little bit.
Yeah. And yeah, and it's going to be at Carolina Fear Fest, which I'll be going to Memorial Day weekend. So nice. it'll be there. Yep.
Awesome. Well, yeah, you got to watch that movie because I am hoping that you'll like it at least moderately like I do. So that way you and I can tag up against our mutual acquaintance.
Nah, I don't know if I want to get drawn into it. That might be why I have not watched it yet. Just to not get, I don't want to be the determining vote in this debate.
I'm pretty sure Monica's watching and she didn't like it either.
She didn't like it either. No.
So like, I feel like, well, I was going to say it could be a wise rebuttal, but Kayla loves the movie. So.
Oh, well, that won't work.
Unless you hate it. And then
unless I hate it, then it's a weird thing.
And then it could be us versus you guys. So we'll see. To be determined, guys.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord. But anywho, if our mutual acquaintance is listening, fuck you, man. No, I'm just kidding.
I doubt he listens, but no, who knows?
If he does, honestly, that'll just sit there forever. If he ever listens to this, he'll probably be like, what the hell?
Knowing him, it'll be one of those things that like 6 months from now, he'd be like, yo, what do you mean, fuck me? I'm like, you'd be like, what? And he's like, that one episode where you talk about his father. They're like, dude, that was like 6 months ago.
Right. That's pretty much how, that's always how it is. It'll make its way back to him somehow.
He has immaculate timing with these things.
He does. All right. Maybe he'll come on the show someday. Probably not. Anyway.
I doubt it. I seriously, there's a rebuttal. I mean, that's a whole episode. Let's hear you two argue about It Follows.
Man, I don't know if I have that in me.
Yeah,
I don't think I have the power for that. The power level for that.
There would have to be a lot of pre-barring for that one.
True that. I mean, the 5-hour energy chased by a shot of Jaeger or something.
Yeah, I don't know about one shot. I don't know if that'll do it.
All right. Our last movie anniversary, which is another good one, March 28th, 1986, April Fool's Day. I have seen this one. I have seen this one many years ago. I'm pretty sure it's just stupid, if I remember correctly. It's just kind of a goofy movie.
Yeah, it's all right. I like it. It's fun. I believe... Amy, is this what the movie is? Amy still in this from Friday the 13th Part 2? I believe she's in the original April Fool's Day as well. Do you still have IMDb up?
Yeah, I'm looking. Yeah, Amy Steele's in this one.
Yeah,
she's from Part 2 with the pitchfork.
Pitchfork, yeah. And then they kill her off. No, never again. Never mind. I'm thinking of the wrong thing. Never mind. But yeah, she's in it. And I am pretty sure that April Fool's Day has been remade.
I'm positive it has.
yeah, I think so. So, but I do like the original. It's one of those fun 80s movies that's cheesy, goofy, but yet fun.
There you go. All right. So that's all of our anniversaries and birthdays. Now let's talk about some upcoming releases.
This is a lot more than we usually have.
I was going to say, this weekend is insane. So, I was talking to Kayla, which by the way, I sometimes will talk to her about like what we're going to review. And I was actually not sure what we were going to review this weekend. Normally, like I'm pretty sure, but I was like, there's so much good shit coming out this weekend. I was like, what are we going to review?
It's wild because there are some weeks where it's like, we're really trying to dig to find something new to review. And this time it was like, okay, we have to make a choice on what we're going to do here. And it's like, in my mind, I'm like, I want to review it all. But yeah. But we had to be strategic. So, we'll get into all this as we discuss this here.
Yeah. So the first one is a Shudder release on March 22nd.
And this wasn't on the short list of review stuff.
No, it was not. This was not on the short list, guys.
There no offense, but.
Well, I think they'll understand as soon as they hear the other three movies that were like on the list, but
yeah,
no offense to this one, but
I'll watch it at some point, but
right. Yeah. But it's not going to be like, oh, I need to watch this right now. All right. It's called You'll Never Find Me. Described as Patrick, a strange and lonely resident living in a mobile home at the back of an isolated trailer park. After a violent storm, a mysterious young woman appears at his door seeking shelter from the elements. This looks good. Sounds promising. Could be good. Shudder release. I'll watch it.
Yeah. I will. But again, it does not carry the weight of the other movies coming out this weekend. But this is a movie that, yeah, at some point, it will crop up in a what we watched at the open of a show.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. But these other films, not so much.
Now, the next one I'm super excited about, but well, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I'm pumped for it, too, but I did go back and forth on whether or not this would be something we review.
Yeah, the thing is, it doesn't fit the vein as well.
Yeah.
As the others. It's it is horror adjacent, but probably not enough. And I know we have reviewed some movies that were very loose in the horror definition. But this movie I just didn't think it fit our vein quite as well. But of all the movies, I'm probably most excited to see this. But only because I love the franchise and the property.
Yeah. So for those of you who have not guessed yet, it is Ghostbusters Frozen Empire in theaters March 22nd. Described as when the discovery of an ancient artifact unleashes an evil force, Ghostbusters new and old must join forces to protect their home and save the world from a second ice age. Obviously, we both love Ghostbusters. You know, like Dave just said, the property of Ghostbusters is so great, so vast. It has just got so much good stuff for it. Obviously, we want to watch this movie. We are probably going to watch this movie at some point. It's just, like he said, it doesn't necessarily fit the vein of everything else that we review.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's just not, again, I don't think it's horror enough. And I know, again, we reviewed some movies that don't fit that, but that was, some of those times it was out of nothing else to review a little bit.
Out of necessity.
But, yeah, but here's the thing. I will watch this movie. I will buy this movie when it comes out video on demand. I will watch this movie a zillion times in the coming years. I love Ghostbusters. The first one of my favorite movies of all time. The first one is a masterpiece. It is such a great movie. This one probably won't be as good because first one, masterpiece. but I'm super stoked. I'm super excited. But then there's also the vein of, you know what? Everybody out there doing movie review podcasts is going to probably review this thing. And yeah. So be it. Hey, it's great. It deserves all that attention. So, but you know what? Hey, if they're going to zig, we'll zag a little bit. We'll do something different. And that something that fits us a little more. Again, man, it's such a tough, because my gut says, hey, yeah, fuck yeah, I want to talk about Ghostbusters. I mean, we talked about Gremlins. It's like, I want to talk about Ghostbusters. But it's like, man, if the other two movies hadn't have been coming out, oh, yeah, we probably would have talked about Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
But when there's other things that just kind of fit our bill a little better, we really had to stay true.
That's what I was going to say. And here's the thing, too, and this is perfectly laid out, because the first movie, it's a Shudder release. We'll watch it, but it's not going to be something we review. The second one, we both really love this film. We love this franchise. We're definitely going to watch it, but it doesn't fit the vein. This next one, we were going to review.
This is the one I want to.
Right. Me too.
This is the one I am. I'm probably more looking forward to this, honestly, than Ghostbusters. Honestly, because this movie looks so damn good.
It does.
And, but unfortunately, I live in little podunk North Carolina, and there's nothing within a reasonable striking distance of me where I get to see this movie. And hey, I was willing to drive up to an hour. I was going to drive to, you know, some of the big cities, but nope, they're not showing up. So. But we will revisit. So dive into it.
Yep. Late Night with the Devil in theaters March 22nd and on Shudder on April 19th. Described as a live television broadcast in 1977 goes horribly wrong, unleashing evil into the nation's living rooms. We will review this sometime in April. Obviously, we are pumped for this. I've been watching this slowly come out and get ready. It has David Dasmalchian, I think his name is.
Yeah.
And he's fantastic. I mean, he's in so much stuff. He's Polka Dot Man in Suicide Squad, which is hilarious.
Yeah.
This is going to be good. I know this is going to be good. I know it's going to be scary. I'm just so excited for it. But Dave said, you couldn't get it.
No, good. This is what we were ready. We were going to review it. And, you know, because I surely thought, man, there's some place that I can drive to and watch this thing. And it's so weird. It's so odd to me that it's not anywhere, but whatever. But this movie, man, this is so clever. I mean, I have never seen a movie like this on a television broadcast, right? Where there, and I could be wrong, right? Maybe there is something out there, but where they have, you know, this, the possessed person on a show. This is a great concept. This is, man, so intriguing to me, but that's okay. That's okay. Cause like we said, we had a stacked weekend. So, you know, okay. So Ghostbusters didn't fit the bill. This one, just because we couldn't do it, kind of, it got voted out, but it comes to Shudder in April. So that's okay. We can revisit it in April when it comes out in Shudder. That it'll be relevant then. So that's okay because, hey, there's still another great choice.
There sure is. We have Immaculate in theaters March 22nd. Described as Cecilia, a woman of devout faith, is warmly welcomed into the picture-perfect Italian countryside where she is offered a new role at an illustrious convent. But it has become clear to Cecilia that her new home harbors dark and horrifying secrets. And we will be reviewing this next episode. So, Immaculate came onto the scene. Honestly, I haven't seen a whole lot of publicity for this other than a few things on TikTok. But this is starring Sydney Sweeney, who is incredibly popular currently. Despite what people say, she was in Madam Web, which I enjoyed thoroughly. She was in Euphoria, Anyone But You, as well as a number of other films. And of course, I'm assuming it's going to be a demon possession movie based on everything that I'm seeing, or some sort of evil spirit. And I love me some ghosties, so I'm down for it.
Yeah. It, again, it looks good. There, you know, there is a buzz about it.
Yeah.
Right. People are starting to talk about it as it comes out. It's, and, you know, again, we have a weekend with three great releases, which honestly, any of the three would have been really great to review. Had it not been for these other two, yeah, sure. We probably would have went ahead and reviewed Ghostbusters because that would have been, it would have been the one to do. Had we been able to do it, we would have done Late Night with the Devil, but hey, we couldn't do it. So, we're reviewing Immaculate, and it's not like we're just settling because this is still a movie that I'm really pumped to see and to review. I want to see all three of these movies, and I want to talk about all the three of these movies. So it's not like settling. It's like, this is just the way the chips fell. And this is what we're reviewing. We will revisit, Late Night with the Devil. I'm sure at some point we will have a little bit of a discussion about Ghostbusters. They'll all get mentioned on here. But as far as next episode and this stacked weekend, Immaculate gets the call. And then that's where we're going.
Yep. You got it. All right. So if you haven't figured out already, this is a absolutely, absolutely stacked weekend. So much shit's coming out. Go out if you can, support all of these releases, watch one, watch two, or watch all three movies in theaters if you want to.
Watch them all. Go make a day of it, man. And just,
that's right.
I've done that before, man. I've watched three movies before in theater, one right after another. Man, that's a fun day. So, go do it, man. Go see them all.
Just sneak in some like McDonald's or something in like your backpack. I used to work in the movie theater. I fully encourage you taking food into movie theaters. On the low, I bring my own popcorn. I pop it at home, put it in a plastic bag, and I put it in my wife's like backpack purse thing, and then we sneak it into the theater and eat it. I don't pay for that shit. I pay for a drink, but I don't pay for popcorn. So, dude.
Just so you know. Any of the theater chains are listening to this, the thoughts of Ike do not necessarily represent those all of the show.
Listen, don't get me started. Look, I used to work for a movie theater. I'm not going to say which one because I don't know. I don't think I signed anything that said I couldn't talk about it, but I don't want to get in trouble. But I used to work for one of the big three. It was a three-letter name. It rhymes with Alpha Motel Charlie. And it. Listen, people would bring shit in and I did not care. I literally saw somebody sneak a pizza in through the side door and I didn't see anything. I don't give a fuck. But anyways.
That's where they make their money, man. It's on those concession markups.
I'm telling you, man, like I get it like because I work there, but like I am not going to pay $12 for a bag of popcorn when I have I've literally bought like these like small bags of popcorn. They're like for individual servings. I literally bought like a box of those for like $6. I'm going to pop one of those bastards and I'm bringing it in with me. Anyway. But
despite the concession opinions of like, go see all these movies.
Yes, yes, yes. Go see all the movies. I still go to the movies, guys. I go like every week, but I just don't buy popcorn or snacks. I bring my own. I buy a drink, though, because they have Coke Freestyle, and that shit's delicious. Yeah. Anyways, I had to bring up food at some point in this show, I guess. It just happened right now.
I didn't know we had a second hot take coming.
don't get me started on, man. I'll keep going. All right. You guys know what's going to happen next. You guys are going to follow us on social media. You guys are going to watch all these movies. And when we come back, we are going to have our official review of Stop Motion. Stick around.
Listen to Their Screens is now a Fangoria collaborator. Get 20% off your order at shop.fangoria.com by using the promo code LISTEN2SCREAMS at checkout. That is listen, the number two, and screams. Or you can click the link in the show notes.
All right, and here we are, review time. We're going to talk about Stop Motion. We're glad you're all here. Did you sneak in your popcorn? Listen to the review. No. We don't sell concessions here, so you can eat whatever the hell you want and drink whatever you like. We prefer and recommend, if you're of age, an adult beverage. That it makes our wacky sense of humor go down a little smoother. And I am right now enjoying a nice Yingling, probably my choice of beer. But anyway, let's talk Stop Motion. This movie is now available video on demand, directed by Robert Morgan. It is written by Robert Morgan and Robin King. Starring, here we go. Let's see if I can butcher these names. Aisling Franciosi, Stella Gonet, Koalin Springall, and Tom York.
I'm convinced you didn't pronounce a single one of those correctly, other than Tom York.
I got Tom York, man. Come on. Hollywood needs more Bob Smiths, because they here's the thing. I when I see a bad name, or a difficult looking name, I totally psych myself out. I'm like, I'm going to screw this up. And then I'm just like completely fumbling it. Anyway, this movie is available video on demand. We did watch it. I'm going to be frank here. I'm not going to go. I'm just going to briefly say something and then pitch to you. I have to say, I really didn't like this movie. I did not. I was so disappointed. Man, I know this. Okay, here's the thing. I love the stop motion part of it. I love the story within the story, you know, and the stop motion characters and all that. I'm sorry. To me, I don't know. I thought the movie bored me, and I wanted to like it. And I just didn't. I don't know why. I don't know why this didn't click with me, but my goodness, it did not. So I want to just say that bit first, and then I'm going to kick to you and let you talk about it first. Well, I guess not first, but you know what I mean.
Right. No, I got you. So. I said, wow, honestly, I was kind of teetering on whether or not, because every time we record on these, I always say to myself, I wonder if Dave liked this movie. And most of the time, like, I'm pretty confident that, like, either, you know, Dave liked a little bit or he liked it a lot more. You know, I can usually gauge. This one, I did have a hard time gauging whether or not you were going to like it. So I'm not terribly surprised that because it could have gone either way. I liked it. I liked it a lot, actually. Stop motion to me, it felt a little experimental. Not quite in the vein of, like, you know, Skinamarink or the other one, The Outwaters. Not quite like that level of experimental where they're like completely trying to redefine the notion of filmmaking. But like it tried to mix, you know, a little bit of that stop motion with the actual film cinematography, because there were definitely scenes where there was a little bit of both going on. And I gotta say, I really enjoyed those moments where they kind of blended the two worlds. Cause to me, this film was the story of, it was a story of grief and how grief evolves and consumes. And that's how I kind of, you know, went into this of, you know, this person, you know, whose mother was a stop motion, you know, cinematographer, made stop motion films, was very critical and very harsh towards her daughter. And her daughter basically was like, you know, it kind of all came to a head for her, because essentially it was just too much. And before she could like really have that moment of like, this is it, the mom dies. Mm-hmm. So not only is this a story of grief, it's a story of unrelinquished frustration and rage, which is why, you know, after her mother's death, instead of continuing her project, she says, I'm going to make my own project. And her grief and rage and frustration manifests itself in sort of like this specter-esque, like, little girl who's like guiding her on her story. And I from the get-go, I thought the little girl was completely like, was something fucky. I was like, there's something fishy about this. I don't know. This is not like a normal little girl. This is like either herself as a child or like some like weird, like, mental image bullshit. So that's what I'm going to say, is that like, I loved that it was a little, it had that little bit of deepness to it, where it's like, this person is basically struggling and this is why. But there's some really cool visuals in this too. There's a part where she's in the shower and she's like scratching her leg, but it's like wax.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but it just tripped me out seeing that. Or like the last like 20 to 25 minutes, kind of, it basically all the gore and violence was like in the last 20 to 25 minutes.
Yeah.
But the one that really like made my skin crawl is where she's like tearing into her like own like cut on her leg. So she's like sticking her entire hands in like this cut and she's like trying to like pull flesh out of it. I was like, holy shit. So yeah, I really like stop motion. The beginning was a little bit of a slow burn. I definitely think that it could have maybe popped a little bit more into there just to make it a little, you know, interesting at first. But that last 30, 40 minutes was really good. And like you said, the stop motion parts of it was really cool. Just really, really neat to see like them do the stop motion and like, you know, the creation of like the figurines, one of them being created out of raw meat and then one of them being created out of like a literal carcass was mm-hmm. really weird, but really cool. And the sound effects were disgusting. Like they were moving like the stop motion figures and it was like a squelching noise. It was, but yeah, so I liked it. I liked it. Obviously I liked it a little more than Dave did. But I could see why somebody might not like this. It was slow in the beginning. It was a slow burn, but I think that it reaches its ultimate destination by the end. I think so.
I guess. I don't know. I think the movie would have, I would have enjoyed it more if the whole movie was in stop motion. I did like the stop motion parts. Those were clever. You know, yeah, you're right. Some of the gore, right? Digging her, like all that was great. I just, the story never clicked for me. I understood what they were doing. It just didn't, I don't know. It didn't hook me. It didn't enthrall me. I felt very bored with it. I don't know. It just didn't interest me. And, it was a chore to watch it for me. I was really kind of disappointed. Cause I was fascinated by the stop motion part. And, you know, and I don't know. I don't claim that I know what would have been a fix for it for me, because I don't. I just don't know what could have fixed it for me. I'm not claiming that I know better.
Right.
But it just, you know, I guess, you know, some movies work for some people, some movies don't, and that's okay. And you know, it's a matter of taste and opinion, and this movie didn't work for me. It didn't hold my interest. It just didn't. I don't know. I very much, and again, I saw a discussion online about this. I don't remember where or how it came up or whatever else. And it's not just, this is not directly just with this movie. This is something you and I have brought up several times in recent episodes. Horror movies now, for some reason, we're at this little, I'll call it a rut for lack of a better term, here lately, of them not, I don't know, I just don't feel like they're scaring as much.
Right.
I feel like they're, I don't know why. I don't know if they're trying to go more cerebral. I don't know if they're trying to be able to be viewed by a little bit of a younger audience, you know, if that's what it is. I just don't, horror has always pushed the bounds and has always been a little fringy and not afraid to to do some things and discuss some things and whatnot. And while, yes, Horace still does hit on some topics, and I won't deny that, but it's like, overall, just, I mean, I don't feel scared by a lot of modern, some of these recent horror movies. I won't say modern. Modern's not the right word. Just recent horror movies we've watched. I don't feel that tension. I don't feel that sitting on the edge of my seat wondering what the hell is going on. And I like that. Then that's what I like. You know, I need some of that. And I feel like that can go, no matter what your style of horror, I feel like there could be some of that. And I'm just, man, I need a movie to do that for me. And maybe that's why I enjoyed Evil Dead Rise so much, because I felt like it had some of that. And that's why I'm, you know, I look, obviously why the Terrifier movies are, there's multiple reasons why I like those, but that's part of it. It's just, I feel like, you know, it's same reason I'm looking forward to the Stranger movie, because the original really is scared the crap out of me and creeped me out. And I want that. I want to, it's horror, you know, scare me a little bit. And then, maybe, you know, maybe some of these things are scaring some people and it's just not me. Some of it just, I don't know, some of it's baffling. On a side note, and again, this is a tangent. Don't ask me why this popped into my head. When I was doing a search on the movies that were in my local theaters, are you aware that in many theaters, Night Swim is still playing?
Night Swim is still playing?
It is still playing in quite a few theaters.
I do not imagine how or why.
I don't either. I'm like, why is Night Swim? I don't care how good it was. That's a long ass run, it feels like. And I'm like, what the hell? I don't know. Anyway, that's a side note, but very relevant to the, hey, it just didn't scare me enough. A lot of these movies have good concepts, but I just don't feel, I feel like they're afraid to just to nudge the line a little, really. And I'm not saying you have to be whatever, not sure the word I'm trying to think of. I'm not saying you have to be controversial or anything.
Right.
But it's like a lot of these movies are afraid to put some scares in there. And again, I don't know if it's a rating thing. I don't know if it's an audience thing. I don't know. I don't know what it is. I don't know why. I don't know if they're trying to just be more cerebral and it's just not, that doesn't work very often. You can't have a lot of cerebral movies that really tense. It works. There are some that do, but you can't do it all the time. And it's okay sometimes just to make a movie that just has some scary shit jump out and make it jump. And it's okay sometimes to use a few cliches and have some fun with it. But again, I've strayed. But this movie just didn't, it stop motion didn't click with me in any way. I didn't feel tense. I didn't feel scared. I didn't feel, I don't stop motion stuff. I'm fascinated by, and I do love, and I think it's an amazing art form, an amazing form of media. And I really, really like it. And I really enjoy it. And I did enjoy those parts in the film and seeing it because it's just incredible. But, I don't know. I was really hoping the stop motion stuff would scare me more than it did.
Yeah.
And it just didn't for me. And, whether that's me, whether it's the film, again, it's just an opinion taste thing, but, didn't click with me.
Yeah. I will agree with you. It was not an overly scary movie. I think that, like you said, this movie was going for, I think cerebral is probably the best way to, you know, describe it. It's more of a, and like, I don't mean this in like the bad way. It was, I think they were trying to go for more of a deep cut. And it was like, cause there's a difference between having like disturbing imagery versus like scary. Right. Mm-hmm. And there was some disturbing. There was, you know, viscera, there was, you know, gore, but it wasn't scary. Right. Yeah. There wasn't anything about this that scared me per se. There were parts of this that deeply disturbed me. So, and I think that kind of, that cerebral sort of like disturbingness kind of falls into, I would say, like exploitation films, because it's more about exploiting a fear, right? It's more about exploiting, like, you know, sort of like that, you know, I don't know, I guess the quote unquote fear comes from the fact that they're attacking sort of like that fear of, you know, stop motion, or fear of viscera, or fear of like cuts, or, you know, whatever it is that they're going for. I don't know exactly how it works, but yeah, it was more, you know, it was more on that side of the fence than it was of actual horror, which I do agree. I think that a lot of films recently have either ventured too far from the path in an attempt to be intellectual, or they simply are just cookie cutter films. Like Night Swim, in my opinion, is one of the most cookie cutter horror movies I've ever seen in my life. And, you know, and is what it is, but not to continue talking about Night Swim, because, you know, it's, you know, apparently it's still in theaters. But yeah, but I mean, it kind of falls into that same vein of sometimes movies are either too cookie cutter for their own good, or they try and go too deep for their own good, which I could definitely see with this movie.
Yeah, I think, I don't know. For me, this just falls into the vein of some of the same thing as a lot of the, you know, recent movies. They're not, I don't feel like they're committing to a lane and really going full bore in it. And whatever they're trying to do is just not, it's not clicking. And again, maybe that's why I really enjoy and appreciate movies, you know, like the Terrifier movies and things like that, because they know their lane. They know what they're doing. And they're like, we're going to do this all the way through the roof, over the top. And this is not going to be for everybody, but hell or high water, we're committing and we're going all out with this, and we're not afraid to do that. And I don't know. I feel like that's the trapping of a lot of these recent movies. It's just like they're too wishy-washy. They just don't, I don't know. They don't, some of them don't, they don't feel like horror to me. Yeah. It's like they try, but they're afraid to really commit. Or something. I'm not sure. I can't put my finger quite on it. It seems to be a common thing, at least with me, of a lot of recent movies that we watched. But again, there's, you know, there are some movies coming out that I'm hopeful, right? That, I mean, you know, The First Omen looks promising. I'm hopeful about Immaculate, right? That I'm hopeful. Again, it's another possession movie, right? It's another possession movie in a religious setting, and this has been done a lot, so I'm hopeful that they do something to, you know, jump out. I mean, we reviewed a few movies that in this same kind of vein. You know, I think that's why a movie like Late Night with the Devil really seems promising to me. It's a different, it's like a different approach. It's something different that we've not seen a dozen times. And again, we have said predictable is not always a bad thing. But if you're going to be predictable, if you don't have an angle that is super unique, then you really better put it to the floor and push the bar a little bit to set yourself apart. I mean, if you're going to be predictable.
Yeah.
And, absolutely. You got to do something. You know, I don't know. I see what they attempted with stop motion. It didn't work for me. It just really, really, really didn't. And that's too bad. So, all right, let's rate this sucker. So out of 5 screams, Ike, what are you giving stop motion?
All right. So while I enjoyed this movie greatly, there are obviously things that I think, you know, could be changed potentially. I'm obviously not a professional filmmaker. I'm just some fat dude behind a microphone. So I'm going to give it a strong 3.5 out of 5.
Ooh, you're more generous than I. I am giving it a 2 out of 5. I didn't care for the movie. Didn't click with me at all. I didn't particularly enjoy watching it. Not a movie that I will rewatch. So I don't know. So there you go. It's a varying degree for the two of us. So this is one of those situations, and I say it every time, but this is where I'd really like to hear some listener feedback, right? Because I didn't care for the movie. I enjoyed the movie. I'd really like to hear some other people's views, not to see who's right or wrong. It's not a right or wrong thing, but I'm just curious to see what other people thought. Is this movie as divisive as what it is for us? Is it a love or hate kind of thing? Are there any people that are lukewarm about it? Because, you know, it's possible, right? Some movies are like that. There's just not a lukewarm. There's not a middle ground on the movie. You really either really like it or just don't like it. So I'm curious to see what some of the people, you know, other people think of it. So hit us up on social media. We've been driving that into your head to follow us, but hit us up. Let us know what you thought of Stop Motion. And if you haven't seen it yet, go out and buy it and watch it and then let us know. Because I would truly like to know and truly like some feedback on what people thought of the movie. And I do hope people enjoyed it. Wasn't for me, but hey, I'm okay. I'm good if it was for everybody else. That's doesn't affect me in any way. So, as we discussed earlier, next episode, we are going to be reviewing Immaculate, which does come out in theaters on March 22nd. So go out and see that. Go out and see Ghostbusters. If it's showing in your area, go out and see Late Night with the Devil. Go out and see them all, and let's have fun. Let's support horror in all its aspects. Because if we give them some dollars, then that we just, you know, we get to have these movies that we get to get them on here and talk about and discuss and say we like them or we don't. And if it, you know, if we don't support it and it goes away, what are we going to talk about?
True.
That sucks. It's going to be a boring show because the only other thing we really get to talk about is food. And, I don't know. That's not very scary, but, so anyway, no, I joke, but go out and support these movies and, let's give them our dollars, support them, watch them. Horror movies in general are just best in theaters. And, you know, I appreciate seeing them at home. I appreciate the convenience and everything else, but man, there's something added for me about going out and seeing it in a theater and sitting in that chair in the dark room. It's just fun. It's the atmosphere. It's an event. Even if I'm sitting in there by myself, it's still an event. And, that's what the way movies were intended to be seen. So
have you seen the AMC, like the thing that they play before their movies where it's like, Nicole Kidman, it's like, we make movies better.
Yeah.
That's you right now.
That's right. I am the Nicole Kidman of Listen to Their Screams. But it's true, right? Movies were invented and intended. I mean, of course, when they were invented, it was the only way to go to theaters. But that is the best way to see the movies, right? You get the full effect. And maybe not for everybody, but I love going to the theater. I love seeing it on the big screen with the surround sound and the dark room. I love that.
Yeah.
That adds to it for me. And, I like the feel of it. I like the event of it. I like the build up to going. And it's just a blast for me. It's part of my love of cinema.
So. No, absolutely. No, I completely agree. Completely agree.
All right. Well, I've shared my heartfelt moment of my love for the theaters. So before we close out, Ike, anything you want to throw in there?
Nothing I can think of off the top of my head other than make sure you guys go out there. Seriously, he was being all, you know, cheesy and stuff, but genuinely though, support these films, support these entities, you know, as commercialized as movie making can get, you know, they are starting to branch out into more like, you know, more independent film type stuff and, you know, and mid independent film stuff like, you know, Late Night with the Devil. Late Night with the Devil's not even getting a huge major release. It's a Shudder production, but you know, the more that we support these pictures and these companies, the more stuff we'll get out of them. And unfortunately, that's how capitalism works, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, the better horror does as a genre, that does bleed down, right? That does, I hate the term, but it does trickle down. It does, you know, it does enable, you know, smaller filmmakers to get to do their thing. And it gives them the chance for, there's something to be said. If horror is successful, there are studios that will say, okay, this is making money. What's out there? What can we purchase for a distribution and to put out there? And it does get them to look at, existing projects and existing filmmakers and give them some money and give them a distribution deal to get them in front of more eyes. So the better it is as a whole, the better it is for everybody. And that's just the way it is. If nobody's watching horror movies, then there's not going to be as many horror movies out there because they're not going to spend their money with something that people aren't seeing.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's the way it works. So even if you're on the fence, just go, man. Just support horror in general because you're supporting it as a whole. And that's a good thing. And Nike spoke of his horror themed dinner with the Terrifier theme earlier. We will throw those the pictures of that on social media, on our social media accounts, so people, we've talked about them when you do them, but we'll throw the pictures out there so people can kind of see what's going on. And it's a pretty creative thing that you and Kayla are doing, pretty fun, and maybe it'll inspire some other people to get out there and do some of this. So we'll throw those pictures on social media after this episode's out, and so people can see what you're saying. And you know, who doesn't like some Art the Clown inspired mashed potato dishes?
Absolutely. I honestly thought about dyeing them red just to see, but I was like, I don't know if I want to put a food dye in there.
at least you didn't partake with a ton of salt and bleach as you did them. But I can't wait for Terrifier 3. Bring yes. it on!
This October.
I'm excited. So, okay, well then, let's close this out. We've gone a little long because we had a lot of news, a lot of discussion, and we hope everybody enjoyed, and thank you for your support. Make sure you subscribe to us. Make sure you follow us on social media, and make sure you join us again next episode for our review of Immaculate and all the other fun goodies that we give you. But until then, I'm Dave, that's Ike, and wherever you go and whatever you do, be good, be safe, and have many pleasant nightmares.